This is Word Radio. Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The United States, with all of its industrial might, is confident that its shores cannot be reached. Having two oceans separating itself from Europe and the Pacific, they believe the chances of an aerial attack on their major cities is minuscule. Little do they know that their enemy, Nazi Germany, is secretly developing aircraft that can make it across the Atlantic to bomb their factories and civilians. Developed by Germany's best airplane manufacturers, these weapons are being rushed in order to enact revenge on America. Now, learn how close they came in developing the America Bombers.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show, here on Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, May 4th, 2010, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson. I want to welcome you to the show. Appreciate you listening in tonight to the live show, and if you're listening live, man, we sure are glad you're here. We love to have live listeners who call in and participate on the show, so feel free to tonight if you have any questions. If you're listening to us via a podcast, try and carve out a little bit of time on Tuesday night and listen to us. Let's get right into it tonight. My guest tonight is Lyle Vassar, who's the owner of Best Pilots. And if you haven't heard of Best Pilots, what's wrong with you? I mean, these are some fantastic pilot figures for your models. Lyle, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. It's great to be here today.
I'm glad you could be here with us. I know you just got back from Top Gun and probably have a lot going on. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us tonight.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
Hey, let me ask you a question for the few people who may not know about Best Pilots. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the company and maybe how you got started?
Okay. Well, the first thing was I started building a Zeroli B-25, 101-inch wingspan. And I put all the rivets on it. I weathered it. It was looking really sharp. And started to shop around for some pilot figures to put in a bomber. It's 1/8 scale. Couldn't find anything that was close to what I wanted or anything. And when I was in college, I had a little bit of sculpture experience, so I thought, yeah, pull out the old sculpture tools and get out the clay and see what happens, you know. And I sculpted it out of the original ones out of Super Sculpey, and after they were completed and painted, put on the line and had some people look at it, and they were more interested in the pilots than they were the airplanes. And so, hey, where'd you get those pilots, man? We can't find them anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, what company made that? And I said, well, it was Righty and Lefty Incorporated, the hand company, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, so we made from that, and a couple of guys said, hey, if you make casts of the molds of those, we'll buy some. And I thought about it, and as timing was, the economic downturn happened. I got laid off, so I did have a lot of time on my hands besides clay to sculpt these pilot figures. So I said, well, I'm going to sell them to a lot of people, or several people on FUSE. I got to do them better than what I did the first set that went in the plane. So resculpted them, and the prototypes are still in the B-25, but sculpted a whole new set, made molds, and started out with two bus pilot figures. Figured out interchangeable heads was a pretty neat little feature, because instead of having two twins flying the planes around, I do have a specific captain and a specific co-pilot flying for the B-25 and 1/8 scale bombers, and sold very well, and they sold internationally, and then hooked up with Wingspan Models, who does the B-17s, and he encouraged me to go to full body bomber pilots, because that was a big request he had. And with cooperation with him, Wingspan, we went to the full scale, and they're fully posable. They can stand, they can kneel in front of the bomb site. To further differentiate between the crew members, even made a clip-on fur collar that comes with each pilot figure, so they can take the fur collar off or put one on to make it look like there's different crews just different looks for each pilot or figure in the plane.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like you've put a fair amount of thought into this as far as, you know, what people might want and so forth, which is good, you know.
If you put all that work into an aircraft with all the rivets and everything, and you want the plane to look real, and then the pilot doesn't look real, it's kind of like a pickle on a wedding cake. It just doesn't look quite right.
That's right. And, I tell you what, along those same lines, why don't you just run down basically what you're offering at this time, and as far as pilot figures, and maybe we can talk a little bit about how you make those more after that.
Okay. We have the bomber crews, as we talked about. They're in a bust figure, which means they're just down to about the waist. We have two bomber figures that are also full scale. Full figure. And those are 1/8 scale. You can fudge that around to 1/9, 1/10. I've even had some people put them in the Top Flight series of B-25s, and they look really good. Yeah. You kind of find out with scale, a lot of the kits and that are kind of not dead on scale.
Right.
So there's a fudge factor involved in a lot of these. So with that in mind, you could go into a wide series of aircraft, actually. From there, we went to, after the full-figured bomber pilots, last fall, decided to go with a 1/5 scaled fighter pilot. And I have a kind of a unique story behind this, too. The pilot figure is an actual portrait of a good friend of mine. His name is Bob Sweeney. And Bob Sweeney was a business person in the little town of Salisbury, Missouri, I grew up in. Knew Bob all my life. And I was a golf course manager in the summers summers off of college break. And got to talk with Bob, found out he flew the P-47s in Italy. And I was in RC Aviation. He was excited about that and came out and watched us fly the RC planes. And from that, we've had a friendship that's been just, you know, great over the years. Yeah. And I've been really proud of that. When the Top Flight P-47 Giant Scale came out, we had to make that plane Bob's plane. And it was really cool. It had the blue tail, lightning bolts on the tail, and it's a pretty striking-looking paint scheme. And they were the death heads. They had a skull on the front of the plane and flying wings off the skull head, and it was pretty cool. And his name of the plane was Dr. Rat. And so we did that, and he said the plane looked perfect, except, boy, that pilot in there just wasn't as handsome as he was. Kidding, of course. But
yeah, yeah.
So I told him, I said, Bob, one of these days I'm going to set you up. So I finally got around to it, and we've got a 1/5 scale Bob Sweeney, and now we have for my own purposes, we have a Bob Sweeney in his plane, very own plane, and we've also offered that same pilot figure for the RC community now. And I think what makes it look so realistic is it is an actual person.
Yeah.
And it does look like Bob, according to his wife and all his family. So they're pretty proud of that fact. So
well, that's neat. That's neat. Folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, or if you have a question for Lyle or a comment, you can call us at 478-787-4768, or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio, Or you can shoot us an email over at live, that's L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. Well, Lyle, let's talk a little bit about this process of you basically sculpting these pilots. That has to be a fairly time-consuming process, I would think.
Yeah, you could almost build an airplane, a scale airplane, through the time frame that it takes from, you know, sketching out the idea, what you want the pilot to look like, committing it to clay, making the molds, and then casting the figures and painting them. I mean, it's about a 3.5 to 4 month process.
Wow.
So when people say, hey, can you make a pilot that looks like so-and-so? Well, yeah, we can. It's going to take a while, though.
Yeah. And how much money do you have? That's the other thing.
Exactly. I figure my own personal wages have raised quite a bit. I think I started out making maybe 5 cents an hour, and I may be up to 10 cents an hour now. So.
I understand.
But the process was pretty neat because I love the draw. I love the paint. I've done portrait work over the years. That's how I put myself through college. Do a little aviation artwork for some aviation museums around the country. And just to be able to take and make a real three-dimensional object with your hands is pretty rewarding. And it's essentially the same thing as drawing, except you're just doing it with clay, and you're doing it in three dimensions. And so it's very, very rewarding to do that and to create an actual figure. And then, hey, it's something that's going to fly in an airplane. I'm all about it. So
I hear you. Well, that's fantastic. One interesting thing about this, you know, talking about pilots, and I'm sure you've been approached by dozens of people wanting something very specific. Obviously with the time frame, you know, you have to do what you think most people are going to want initially. But do you see yourself expanding this line to a pretty broad line eventually?
Yeah, I think that's the secret to success, is trying to provide as much variety as possible.
Right.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good feedback at Top Gun. The people are really excited about the product, and I got a lot of good ideas for future projects coming up, too.
Right.
I also want to mention real quickly, I hooked up with a UK distributor, and his name is Michael Hayward. And he is with Class Coat, and he is going to be distributing pilots for me in the UK.
Awesome.
So I imagine there'll be quite a few requests for Battle of the Britain pilots, Luftwaffe pilots, things of that nature as well. Which sounds great. Just need the time to get them done, and we'll start working on them.
As soon as you figure out how to clone yourself, you'll get those right out, won't you?
Exactly. I hear the jet jockeys, they are really wanting a 1/5 scale jet fighter pilot, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that one could go faster because, you know, they have the face shields on the helmet, so a helmet's a little bit easier shape to shape and sculpt than the facial features of a person,
yeah.
For sure.
I got you. Well, folks, once again, if you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call, 478-787-4768. The show's for you guys, so by all means, please call in if you have any comments. Lyle, one other thing I wanted to point out to folks about your website, which is probably a little hidden jewel, is you have some really, really nice weathering tutorials on your Best Pilots website.
Yeah, that's another factor of making it look real, making those scale aircraft look real, and taking it beyond the pilots. And I love that in-service look of aircraft. When people come up to an air show, see the planes on the flight line, it always seemed like the ones that stood out a little bit were the ones that looked a little bit half beyond the model look and looked like you just shrunk down a real aircraft. And, it's the small little subtle changes in color. When you're painting a plane blue, you actually kind of model it a little bit, add a little black, add a little white, make it look faded, exhaust stains, and it all of a sudden that plane starts coming to life.
Yeah.
And that's where really magic starts to happen. So as I was doing a project for a friend, Dave Reed, here in Kansas City, I did a Texan for him, and he came up with a really nice paint scheme. It almost looks like a Dauntless dive bomber, same kind of paint scheme with the dark blue and that. and detailed all that out and with photography and some added comments of how things happen, and painting with latex, which I just love. It's a fantastic, easy process, water soluble, you know. And so I thought, hey, I'll just share that with people on my website, and a lot of people come to that to check it out and see how it happened. And it also kept Dave involved in the process, and he got to see exactly how everything was going, you know, night by night as I put this on the website. So yeah. It was a neat process.
That's neat. And there's some really good tutorials too. I took a chance, took some time to look through them today, and really good stuff. You know, people like you amaze me because you have a very good artistic eye and a very good eye for balance and color and so forth. Unlike the, you know, I don't even know what to call myself. You know, I just kind of keep doing it until it starts looking right, you know.
And, oh, yeah. I've seen your planes, Mike, on Facebook, and they look really good.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. But this kind of stuff here is incredible. And by all means, folks, there's a quick link on Warbird Radio to Lyle's site, and there's one in the episode post on RC Scale Builder. So you should be sure and check out those tutorials. They're really, really, really good tutorials. And well, let me ask you something. Well, I tell you what. Hold on, we just got a message in from someone. Jeff Hines wants to know. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you answer it. Where do you get the clothing, or are they integrated in with the pilots themselves as part of the sculpture?
They're part of the sculpture. It's actually the clothing is actually sculpted into the mold, into the resin, so it's all one piece. And the clothing, it's a great thing to have, but sometimes it gets a little clumpy, and you know, just because of the size, you just can't get material to act the same way.
Right.
So I sculpt that in and then put the clothing texture into it, so it's painted right. It'll look really close to clothing, and a lot of people said they actually prefer that to the actually clothed pilots you see, and that's out there.
I agree. You know, a nice sculpted pilot like you have, or like your pilots are, that, you know, it looks 10 times better than, like you said, than using real material, because you can't get the material thin enough, you know, mm-hmm. to for it to act the right way when it folds and bends and so forth.
Right, and I know nothing about sewing.
Well, so, I hear you. You
know. Clay's a lot easier than cloth.
Yeah,
manipulating that too.
well, let me ask you this, Lyle. What do you got? What do you got coming up? You got some new pilots coming out, or a new pilot, or?
Yeah, absolutely. We've kind of put a picture of it on my website of the head sculpt as it's coming along. The head is about the size of a little bit smaller than a golf ball, and put the sculpt up and just kind of threw it out there. Does anybody recognize
who that is?
And it's one of my all-time heroes. Probably stemmed from the TV show Baba Black Sheep Squad, or the Black Sheep Squadron, which and then with that, you know, it's Pappy Boynton. So he's going to be coming out the hopefully the end of this month or the 1st of June, round in there.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Read a lot about Pappy. He's an interesting character. Heck of a hero. He never liked to be called that. I've talked to a lot of people that actually knew Pappy. Actually, just bumped into one guy. We were sitting in the airport waiting for a plane on a business trip, and he just happened to say, I was reading a book about aviation, and he said, HBO special about the Pacific. And he said, that's a good book. I said, oh, yeah, I love aviation history. And he said, oh, I used to know Pappy Boynton. I said, well, I got some pictures for you. And I showed him the sculpt, and now it's coming along, and he wants one. He doesn't fly RC, but he was interested in having a sculpt just because he was friends with Pappy. They had lunch every day for a year, for several years there.
Wow.
Oshkosh. So. And so I thought if it passed muster with him, it's a pretty good likeness, I think.
Yeah. So. That's pretty neat. So you talked also about maybe a jet pilot after that?
Yeah. I think I may have to do looking at maybe doing a World War I Fokker D-7 pilot.
Oh, yeah.
And in the fall, I have about four friends that have that new Balsa USA Fokker D7, mm-hmm. and that thing flies beautifully, by the way. So they're kind of I'm getting lobbied pretty heavily to have that one, be one of the next pilots. So we'll see how we can work that in. But the jet pilot, that's another one as well.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So, well, let me ask you this. Do you do commission work? If someone wanted you to do a special pilot, do you consider that? Or?
Yeah, we can consider that. But right now I would have to put them – I have a few friends that do some work as well. I think you may have heard of Michael Brent.
Yeah.
He does portrait pilots, pilot portraits, I believe it is, and does a fantastic job with that. And so he may be a person to look into for ones that you want to look like yourself. So, but if somebody's out there wants a squadron of different kind of pilots or something, yeah, let me know.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's super. Well, you know, the question I ask everyone that comes on this show, I don't know if you've listened to any other shows, but you, if you have, you know what's coming. What do you have on the workbench right now? That's my question for you.
Okay. Right now, I have the Zeroli B-25,
uh-huh.
and I have a Top Flight P-51 giant scale, and, of course, the P-47 giant scale. And the B-25, I want to rig up to drop bombs and that this summer. So
yeah.
It's going to take a little bit to do just because of the configuration, the way the plane was built. But I got some ideas, and that's the next thing up on the board. So
gotcha.
And we'll go from there.
That's pretty neat. Pretty neat stuff. Wow, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Hey, you bet, Mike. I appreciate it, too. And I want to say thanks so much for all your help. You guys have been a great help with helping me get off the ground. And I think you guys are just a fantastic ambassador for our little section of the hobby and scale building.
Thanks. I appreciate that. That's what we like to hear. Well, I tell you, will you come back another time and maybe give us an update in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great.
This is fun.
Okay. Well, what we'll do, folks, is we have Lyle's information, like I said, on Warbird Radio on this episode, a link to his website, and we have it on the episode post on rcskillbuilder.com. So be sure and check him out. He's got some great tutorials and some absolutely gorgeous pilots. I mean, these are I think they're the best I've seen. I mean, of manufactured pilots. So, pretty incredible stuff. I'm very impressed. I had to get you on the show to talk about them because they're just pretty interesting. But look, thanks for coming on the show. And I was trying to see if we had any other emails before I let you go here.
Sure.
Okay. Looks like that's going to do it. But look, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll definitely get you back again sometime. And, you know, like I said, folks, be sure and contact Lyle if you have any questions about his pilots. And I'm sure he'd be more than happy to answer. He's a pretty nice fella and enjoys model airplanes as much as the rest of us. So
absolutely.
Super. Well, thanks again, Lyle. And we'll be talking to you real soon, hopefully.
Okay. Great, Mike.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Lyle Vassar from Best Pilots, and what a nice fella, you know, and this guy's a true artist, and, you know, it just really makes me sick, the people that can have that much talent, you know, because I think all my talent would fit in his pinky, you know, he's just a pretty talented guy. But what we're going to do is I think we're going to go ahead and take a quick break and pay some bills. And when we come back, I believe Mr. Ron Berg will be online here with us and talking about a book review he's doing for us that's kind of appropriate to the subject. But anyway, stick around. We'll be right back right after these messages. Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Now, this is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
If anyone had said you're going to get involved in auto chars, I'd have said that straight windmill thing. No. As soon as I got the eyesight test, the doctor said, "What if you never be able to land an aeroplane?" I made suicidal pass after pass trying to get the thing down. And after several times doing this thing, with no fuel showing on the gauges, I called up and said, couldn't the crew bail out? There was no sense in them staying with me while I was trying to do it. And all the time we were flying, we had an atom bomb on board. And when we were in a certain area of the North Pole from Canada, if we got the message, we had a target to attack in Russia. People say, why do you have so many? My answer is, it's like having a harem of girls or women. They're all the same basic design, but they kind of differ in nature. I remember when I landed, and Covey of Broccoli was looking at me from a distance. He said, yeah, same build, he'll do. Meaning I was the same build as Sean Connery.
The Logbook Series, featuring Ken Wallace, now showing on AeroCinema.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. Glad you could join us tonight if you're listening live. If you're listening to our podcast, we're glad you found us and hope you'll continue to check out the show each week. And if you are listening to the podcast, just remember, you, no need to call in or email us because the show is not live. But it is live right now on Tuesday night. So if you guys want to participate tonight, feel free to. I believe we have Mr. Ron Berg on the phone with us. Are you there, Ron?
Hello, Mr. Chilson. How are you doing tonight?
Man, I am doing fantastic. It was a real pleasure to sit down and talk to Lyle and hear a little bit more about his company and his products. That's pretty neat stuff, you know?
I saw that picture of that of his latest offering there on that bust of Pappy Boykin, and man, that looked real.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you'd ever seen a picture of Pappy Boykin, you knew who that was.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, the guy is an incredible artist, and, you know, he's got more talent in his pinky finger than I have, so it's pretty impressive and nice to be able to talk to someone like that. So,
yeah, it'd be cool if he would, like, do a tutorial, not a tutorial, but run a little thread on the site showing how he does that. I bet that process would be interesting to see.
Well, you know, maybe we could get him to do that. I'll give him a call and see what he thinks about that. And who knows, he may even do a Ron Berg pilot.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a lot of demand for that. Maybe my girlfriend would buy one, but that's what it'd be about, yeah. People get them and put them in the cannon to keep the cockroaches out or something, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm sorry I'm being buzzed over my house by an airplane for some reason in the middle of a live show, but if you heard that in the background. So you got a book to review for us.
Yes,
this
sir.
Week.
I kind of got motivated to do this. I saw Evan's thread on that where he made that canopy plug for the DO-335 and pulled his own canopy. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me that I've got this book on vacuum forming, so that kind of got me interested up, and I pulled it out and was looking through it and reading through it again, and I thought maybe I'd talk about that tonight. I know that, you know, I did vacuum bagging last week, and, you know, we'll do vacuum forming this week, and I'm sure there's some people out there saying, well, you know, all this vacuum talking, it sucks, but yeah, but vacuum does suck, and it does a good job of it. You can put it to work, and it'll do good things for you. But for those that don't know what vacuum forming is. Basically, if you take a form of something that you want to duplicate or something that you want to make, say you want to make a cowling for an airplane, and you turn your cowling out in wood, and then you take and you put that on a perforated table, a vacuum is a forming bed that has a vacuum source hooked to it, and you take plastic, put it in a frame, heat it up till it's softened, press it down over the top of that form, and then open your vacuum source where it sucks all the air out of the inside of the plastic. It'll pull it down over the form, and you will have a plastic cowling like you would get with a sport model that you buy. Now, you're not limited to cowlings. Of course, you can do all kinds of things with it, and you're only limited in the size of the vacuum forming bed you build. So it's kind of up to the builder what he wants to do with it. But things you can do is you can make scale details like little pylons or fairings that go around guns, bumps and blisters, things of that nature for your models, and they can be extremely light, much lighter than if you were making it with something like a fiberglass resin, something along that line. But this book is called Do-It-Yourself Vacuum Form, and it's written by a guy named Douglas E. Walsh. Doug owns a company called Workshop Publishing. He does quite a few books that pertain to different aspects of different hobbies, but a lot of them are useful to us. So people may want to go on his website and have a look around. I think he'll post the link for all of this on the site there, Mike. But the book covers all the basics of vacuum forming. It discusses heat sources, different vacuum sources, and how to build your forming equipment. And he even gives you can get plans to build a small vacuum forming system, and he even in the book shows you how to go about that. Discusses alternate sources for all the different equipment and stuff that you'd use. Basically, he shows you how you can go around and scrounge up pieces here and there and build you something pretty reasonable. People that have got a good idea of what vacuum forming is, how to do it, this is going to answer all your questions. And some of the guys have been doing it for a while. They may find some information here that will make them a little more successful. Like one thing that I picked up in the book reading through that I wasn't aware of, it's like if you have, you pull apart, if you got bubbles or blisters, it could be that your plastic has too much moisture in it. Because a lot of plastic absorbs moisture, and particularly if it's an old piece of plastic, you may have a lot of moisture in it, and then when you heat it up, the moisture in it literally bubbles up, turns into a vapor, and it can affect your surface. And so it'll tell you that if you take that plastic and put it in an oven at about 200 degrees for about 45 minutes to an hour, well, then you can end up with a better piece. It's amazing what you can do when you know what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at his workshop publishing website, and you're right. He just has an incredible amount of books and mm-hmm. plans for different things, and we'll definitely post that on the episode information on RC Scale Builder. And just for those listening, if you want to go look right now, it's build-stuff.com is the web address.
And something else that I noticed, and I haven't been on his website in probably more than a year, and I went and checked it out just to see, what his latest stuff is. And he's got a book in there now. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure that it would be very useful to anybody who wants to build build their own vacuum forming machine. But he's got a book in there that looks like a companion. It's called Secrets of Building a Vacuum Forming Machine. And he goes into it's a bit more, technical or, a little bit fancier, a little bigger machine, something that people who are building big birds might be interested in. And this is another one of those things that, somebody could build one of these to do their own thing. Their own parts, support their hobby, but you can pick up a few hobby dollars along the way making stuff for other people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty neat. It looks like he's got just a wide variety of things to. I just can't get over all the stuff he has, but that's a great site.
It's pretty extensive. And if you call, I mean, he's got his number down at the bottom. Uh-huh. And if you call that number, Doug's the one that answers the phone. And I've talked to him several times, and he's a nice guy. And he's really knowledgeable about the vacuum form and, you know, techniques and how to do it and everything. And he's anybody has any questions, he's the man to talk to.
Well, that's great. Maybe we can get him on the show, or maybe we can work out something where you can do some more reviews of his books.
Oh, that sounds good. I've noticed there's quite a few on there that I think would be of interest to our folks here.
Absolutely. So you know, I don't want to embarrass you here, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
and let people know.
Should I hang
that,
up now?
No, I just, you know, I just want everybody to know how proud I am of you that you actually got out and cleaned up your shop.
Well, it's not finished yet, but it's just about there.
You know,
and you know, and I went and I made a $700 investment last night, so I've got to get it clean. I've got to get that PT-19 finished because I spent $700 on a new Futaba 10-channel 2.4 gig radio system.
There you go.
You know, and I don't think it'll impress too many people hanging on the wall, so got to put it to work.
But it's pretty, isn't it?
I've already got a picture printed out, framed up, sitting in my office wall, just looking at it and smiling.
Well, great. Well, Ron, thanks for coming on and giving us that review. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you were able to find this guy. And, man, that's a lot of cool stuff there, and we'll definitely post that and get it up and where everyone can check it out. So that's pretty neat. Anything else? You got any ideas for next week what you're going to do?
I'm thinking next week I may do something on a video I've got for hollow molding. I'll take a look at that and see what we can put together.
I got you. We'll see.
You know what hollow molding is?
No, I don't. Why don't you? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll wait till next week and figure out what it is. How about that?
Well, that'll be your trivia question for next week before I start.
What is hollow molding?
All right, man. Okay, you take care. Good talking to you.
Same to you, buddy. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All right, folks. That was Ron Berg, and he was actually telling us about a do-it-yourself vacuum forming book by Douglas Walsh. And I'll be sure and post the URL to the episode post, and so you can go check it out for yourself. Next up, it looks like we have Mr. Mitch Baker with our subject-seeking segment. Good evening, Mitch. How are you tonight?
And Mike, Mitch just dropped off, so we'll try and reconnect him here. Let's see, he's calling back right now, so stand by, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Mitch is here.
Hi, Mitch, how you doing?
Well, if I don't hit the wrong button, I'll be a lot better off.
That's okay.
Yeah, that mute button is very close to that hang up button. I don't know, just one of those things.
Yeah. So how you doing tonight, bud?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. You know, I was thinking, I was thinking about doing one of those, you know, from MASH, that 5 o'clock Charlie. Uh-huh. And a Ron Burke pilot would be perfect in that, I think.
You know, I think that's a great idea.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So there is a call. See, Ron, there is a call for your pilot, for your figure as a pilot.
You know, I think that would be fantastic, you know. Either that or if you're
that
doing
site. That guy's amazing.
Or if you're doing the SS Minnow.
That's true. Put a little put his cap on in there.
We call him Cap Ron, you know. So
Cap Ron.
Yep. Well, look, what do you got for us tonight on the subject seeking?
Well, Forrest emailed in after the show last week and asked for us to do the HE-111. He wanted to know a little more about that. So, doing that, we want to keep our fans happy. We're doing the 111 tonight.
Super. Well, what do you got? Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and see if you can educate us a little bit.
I think I'll try that. Back in the early 30s, the 111 was built as a front It was a airliner and transport aircraft, which was just used to basically make it comply with the Treaty of Versailles. But it was really built as a medium bomber. It was fast. The 111 was built as a twin-engine version of the HE-70 Blitz. It was a very unique aircraft. It had inverted elliptical wings and rounded control surfaces. So from underneath, it's a very neat-looking aircraft to watch fly over. The 111 saw combat first with the Spanish Civil War. And at that time, it was actually one of the fastest aircraft in the sky. It was part of the Condor Legion and pretty much ruled the area there. Support from the 111 also contributed greatly to the German early success in the Blitzkrieg. Its triumph, though, was soon brought to a screeching halt. The Battle of Britain, it just really wasn't much of a match for Hurricanes and Spitfires at the time. In 1940, the 111 was refitted and used as a night bomber and was pretty effective through 42. Shortly after that, it was phased out, but not to be mothballed completely. They again refitted it and used it as several different roles, a torpedo bomber, a glider tug, troop transport, and there was actually even a version that was fitted and used to as an air launch platform for the V-1.
Wow.
Production ended for it in 44. The most unique variant of the 111, which I don't know how popular it is. I've seen it several times just because I like looking at unusual aircraft, was the 111Z. This was actually a multiple 111s merged together. Originally, to tow the huge ME 321 and the GO 242 gliders. This was a twin-fuse, five-engine model, but it was built from four HE-111H-6s. There was also a -2 of this of the Z model that actually carried four HS-293 anti-shipping guided missiles. It was a pretty big aircraft. Modeling? Let's get down to that. There are some kits out there for it. Model Air Tech put out a 55-inch version of this aircraft, built as an electric. Air World Models over in Germany has a really nice-looking 73-inch wingspan fiberglass kit. And, of course, a good friend, Vanguard Plans. Vance has a really nice 89-inch version, plans, parts, and short kits. And Tramplet Productions also has a 100-inch wingspan set of plans that you can purchase from them.
Right.
So there's some good availability for kits, really, for an aircraft you don't see around that often.
Yeah. You know, I spoke with Vance once, and, you know, the cool thing that Vance will do, and hopefully he'll be back soon and be able to do this again, but when he gets to feeling better, is he can actually blow those plans up if you'd like a larger one too. So,
oh, that would be nice. Yes.
Yeah. So but that's a nice airplane. I've seen his before, and the thing's got to fly like a pussycat with that big old wing on it.
You know? Oh yeah, and you know, looking at it from underneath, it just looks it looks cool. You know, twin engine, that big elliptical wing around there, and it's just a cool looking aircraft in flight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool, man. You know, that's actually one of my favorite German bombers. Is the 111. I've always liked it, and I hope that one day to be able to do a larger one. But too many airplanes and not enough time, right?
Don't we know it? And another thing, from a modeling standpoint, there were a lot of variants of the aircraft, so you can get very creative with your both accessories for the aircraft and your schemes and everything else. So it's from a modeling standpoint, it is very good.
Yeah, yeah, it's a neat airplane for sure. And you know, the other interesting thing about it too is that. Not only were there so many different versions, there were so many different documented schemes of that airplane too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, lots of them out there.
Yeah, so there's plenty to
do. And some cool-looking schemes that you don't see around a lot, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
I got to give that to the Germans. They came up with some really interesting schemes for winter and desert and things like that.
Yeah, they were definitely dabblers. They were gadget guys for sure. But, well, look, well, thanks for sharing that with us tonight. And you got any idea what you're going to present next week?
Shortly after Forrest sent his in, we had somebody else during the week send in a request, Dennis, and we're going to do the fairy swordfish next week.
All right. Neat airplane. Neat airplane for sure.
I think it's going to be fun looking up on it.
Yeah, well, it'll be fantastic. Hey, so I let people know I'll get to the event shortly, but Mitch and I both will be up at Mint Julep in a couple of weeks. And so if any of you are going to be attending, please let us know, and we'll make plans to try and hook up while we're there.
Yes, sirree. We always have a great time there, don't we, Mike?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? We make our own fun wherever we go, don't we, buddy?
That's right. I'll have the Scale Masters banner posted up so they can just look for that at the trailer, and the guy's having the best fun, and that's where we'll be.
Super. Well, that sounds good. Well, thanks again, Mitch, and we'll talk to you next week for sure.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good one.
All right. You too, pal. All right, that was Mitch Baker with our subject-seeking segment for the night. Real quickly, I got an email in from Glenn McIntosh, and he's listening tonight, and he wanted to send a special thank you out to everyone at RCSB for giving their support during his Storch build. If you didn't know, his Storch took third place in Toledo at the contest there, and you know, he did his usual beautiful job on that airplane. I tell you, it was incredible.
And folks, we've lost Mike Chilson there, and we'll try and reconnect with him here just real shortly. But let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of the RC Scale Builders Show right after this.
This is Word Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIX Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcast throughout the week. You've been on the WIX Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIX wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIX Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The B-29. This weapon, long awaited by the Allies, makes an appearance at an English airstrip. And rival eyes are watching. With the walls of Fortress Europe beginning to falter, the arrival of this powerhouse bomber terrifies the Nazis, spurring the Luftwaffe into action. They need something to defend against it. Something that can fly high, fast, and has some new tricks up its sleeve. The call is answered, and one aircraft stands above all others. Forged in the heart of Nazi Germany, this dark bird may be the perfect answer to the looming threat of America's superfortress. The Emergency Fighter.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the RC Skill Builder Show. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty there with AT&T. But wrapping up what I was saying, I appreciate Glenn's email, and he did a good job on that storage in Toledo. So he just wanted to send a thank you to everyone for supporting him during the build, and we appreciate him documenting that on the site. Real quick, let's get into our trivia question. And you know what? You guys aren't going to believe this, but we're going to change the prize a little bit tonight. Tonight, we are actually going to be giving away some Zap CA glue, 1 ounce of medium and 1 ounce of thin, complements of Meister Scale. Meister Scale is now basically sponsoring the trivia question, and we have a couple other sponsors that will be helping out too. And we certainly appreciate him doing this, and this is all for you guys, so be sure and participate in the question here. Okay, tonight's trivia question, if you were listening to Mitch's segment on the HE-111, this should be a really, really easy question for you to get. The question is, what single-engine aircraft was the HE-111 an evolution of? Or what single-engine aircraft did the HE-111 evolve from? If you think you know the answer, phone us at 478-787-4768. Or Skype in at Warbird Radio, or email your question or your answer in to live@rcscalebuilder.com. Once again, the question is, what single-engine aircraft was the HE-111 an evolution of, or what aircraft did it evolve from? Once again, if you know that answer, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and give you some glue. So we'll move along until we get a call in, but let's talk about some upcoming events. Well, didn't even get that far. Looks like we already got a caller here. Good evening, caller. Are you there?
Hi, Mike Smitter from Iceland here.
Oh, goodness. I can't believe it. You finally called in.
Yes, sorry. First time I listen live.
How are you doing tonight? Or I guess it's in the morning for you, isn't it?
Well, actually, I miscalculated. It's 10 minutes to 1.
Okay, yeah, so it's morning. So so you think you know the answer to this question?
Yeah, I believe it was the Heinkel 70.
That's absolutely correct. Are you familiar with that airplane? Have you ever seen the Heinkel 70?
No.
You know, you ought to Google it and look it up. It's quite an interesting-looking airplane.
Looks very strange, to say the least.
Yeah, it basically looks like a 111 with a single engine on the nose. Very sick. Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you were able to call in and join us tonight. Man, that's great. Will you do me a favor and send me an email to live@mikechilson.com with your shipping address, and we'll get your glue off to you.
Sure. It will probably arrive at the same time as the T-shirts.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I tell you, man, we've had so many problems with those things. It's unbelievable. But this will be going out by me, not by them. So I'll make sure it gets to you.
Cool.
All right, super. Well, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you listening tonight.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye bye. All right. Well, there we have it. That was an easy question, and we got a quick answer on it from Iceland even. How about that? Real quickly, let me cover some upcoming events, and then before we wrap it up. Of course, we've got the Mint Julep Scale Meet coming up May 14th through the 16th in Falls of Ruff, Kentucky. And after that, on May 22nd, 21st and 22nd, we have Warbirds over East Alabama. In Opelika, Alabama. That's one of the Giant Scale Warbird Association fly-ins. Also, June 10th through the 12th, we have Warbirds over Georgia. Listen, guys, if you are in the Southeast, you need to come to Warbirds over Georgia. This is absolutely one of the best events in the country. That's a very casual fly-in, and everyone's very nice. You know, we don't get attitudes. It's just a nice, relaxed fly-in, even though there's a lot of people there. So So be sure and try and attend that. That's in Andersonville, Georgia, of course, at Mac Hodges' place. And that's June 10th through the 12th. And my recommended site of the week, I had another one in mind. But you know what? I think I'm going to change it to I want to change it to Lyle's Best Pilot site. And the reason I say that, he has some fantastic tutorials on weathering and painting on his site. And, of course, I will post that, Earl, under the recommended site of the week. And you need to be sure and check him out. He's got some really, really good tutorials there. And I think you'll be very pleased with him. But that's going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. I really appreciated you joining us tonight. And, you know, it was great spending some time with you. And be sure and tune in next week. I believe next week we've got Tomas from VQ Warbirds lined up. So hopefully he'll be joining us. And we got it scheduled out a couple of weeks. I don't want to give too much away because usually when I do that, they'll change on me. So I don't want to let too much out of the bag. But next week, stay tuned for Tomas and VQ Warbirds. And by the way, I'm going to be trying to put the maiden on my little Ki-84 this weekend. So check out my thread on that. I'll try and get some pictures up this week on wrapping it up. But until next week, I guess we'll talk to you then. And thanks again for listening. Thanks to Lyle Vassar. Thanks to Mitch and to Ron, especially. Thanks to you all for listening, you guys. This show is why we do this, and we do this just for you. And, you know, so we hope you enjoy it. And if you have any ideas, please let us know, because we'd love to know it. But anyway, you guys have a good one. And until next week, don't forget to measure twice and cut once. Good night.